in the neighborhood, I'm told, or experienced as I walked out the door. I like the cooler temperature, so that's really nice. If you're wondering about Andrew and Evelyn, Evelyn was able to capture 3 weeks vacation from work, and so they went to Hawaii so they could visit all the family, all of her family there, and enjoy Hawaii. And I talked to Andrew about that, and he does say it's pretty warm out there. I always thought Hawaii was like perfect, 72 every day, but apparently it does get warm there. But he did have a prayer request, and that is that they have no hurricanes while they're there. So I've been keeping an eye on the hurricane season, and the Pacific has been pretty quiet so far this year. So
it's Hurricane Evelyn.
Is it? So they'll be back here next week, the week after. So they're having a great time, and it was a blessing she was able to capture that from work. You have the insert in the bulletin for All Church Sunday service. I'm really looking forward to that, particularly because it's a change, and people don't handle change well, as you know. And so I'm really interested to see how many folks will show up for the service. There'll be hundreds, I know that for sure. But previously we've had 600, 700, 800, well, almost 800 people on All Church Sunday from about 24 churches across the Aryan Range, all the way up to Cook and Orr and the Reservation and Hibbing and Chisholm and Aurora, Hoyt Lakes and Ely, and it's been really fun. The best part, the part that I like the most about going there, is I know so many believers across the range, and I get to run into them and catch up with them and see that they're continuing on with the Lord and participate, capture a little bit of their joy as we meet together. Pretty quiet week this week. Church council is on Wednesday evening. That's pretty much all that's happening in your lives, or our lives, I should say. Just a reminder that the nursing home service is at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month. This is a month that has 5 Sundays. And so if you're able to or would think about participating with us, what you can do is you can talk to the folks, pray with the folks, help them to find the songs on their song sheets or song books, whatever the case is. And then it's been my habit always after the service is done to meet with each of the folks individually, talk with them a little bit, and ask them for their prayer requests and pray with them. I want to make it a personal contact. So if you can help out with that, if you're interested, let me know, or just show up 2:00 at Waterview Pines, where there's no water. So I don't know why it's called that. But okay, exciting thing. Operation Christmas Child is ramping up. And the reason it starts this early is because this is the time where you see sales for school. And so we capture the time when there's sales for school to get the good prices to be able to pack up the boxes that we send out to kids. And I've always believed not just the kids, but their families are touched by the gifts as well. But the items in the box are usually kid-focused. And the ladies have a special way of packaging these boxes. So some are for these age kids, and some of the for these age kids, and some of these are for teenagers. They got it all organized. So if you could capture some of those sales and probably put it in a box out front, huh? Yeah, like we have before. And there's a partial list that I put in the bulletin, but if you have any questions, you can ask Barb, you can ask Bernie, probably anybody, because we've done this for so many years. And we've learned some things that we can send and things that we can't send. And capture those sales and let's fill up those boxes. I think I'm forgetting something, but I can't remember what I'm forgetting. So I'd like to begin out of the Covenant Book of Worship, our invitation into worship today. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving refuge of His anointed. And our prayer together, if you'd pray with me, Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be our shepherd and carry us forever. Stand together.
All stars, come rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, victory, order from chaos, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise Him with a new song. Hail, wind and rain, come blowing snowstorms, sing to the Lord a new song. Flowers and trees, soft rustling dry leaves, sing to the Lord a new song. Marvelous things, we too will praise Him with a new song. Trumpet pipes, loud clashing cymbals, sing to the Lord a new song. Harp, lute, and lyre, low humming cellos, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise Him with a new song. Engines and steel, loud pounding hammers, sing to the Lord a new song. Limestone and beams, strong building workers, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise Him with a new song.
Our Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you. And we will sing to you with old songs and new songs, with psalms and hymns. We too will sing with our hearts and with our voices to glorify you. We honor you now, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to come and be with us, participate with us, touching our hearts, our minds, our lives, so that we can be recharged for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Comes from Psalm 17, 1 through 7, and you will find that on page 411. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God. For you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. And the New Testament reading is from Romans 9, verses 1 through 5 on page 862. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it within the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen.
Can I ask the ushers to come forward at this time? We give our God with hearts of love, for you have been so good to us. Receive our gifts, receive our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing around from 406, Trust in the Lord. If you don't know the words, you just have to repeat me. Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
And lean not to your own understanding.
And lean not to your own understanding.
In all your ways acknowledge Him.
In all your ways acknowledge Him.
And He shall direct your paths.
And He shall direct your paths.
One more time. Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
And lean not to your own understanding.
And lean not to your own understanding.
In all your ways acknowledge Him.
In all your ways acknowledge Him.
And He shall direct your paths.
And He shall direct your paths.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
Let us stand for our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you. You may be seated.
And turn to 279.
Gift of God, the Spirit, power to make our lives anew. Pledge of life and hope of glory, Savior, we would worship you. Crowning gift of resurrection, sent from your ascended throne, fullness of the very Godhead, come to make your life our own. Spirit at creation's dawning, brooded on the lifeless deep, still across our nature's darkness moves to wake our souls from sleep, moves to stir, to draw, to quicken, thrusts us through with sense of sin, brings to earth and seals and fills a saving advocate within. Holy Spirit, living author, wakes to life the sacred word, reads with us its holy pages, and reveals our risen Lord. He it is who works within us, teaching rebel hearts to pray. He whose holy intercessions rise for us both night and day. He the mighty God indwells us, His to strengthen, help, empower, is to overcome the tempter, ours to call in danger's hour. In his strength we dare to battle all the raging hosts of sin, and by him alone we conquer foes without and foes within. Father, grant your Holy Spirit in our hearts may rule today. Grieve not, quench not, but in hindered work in us his sovereign way. Fill us with your holy fullness, God the Father, Spirit, Son. In us, through us, then forever shall your perfect will be done.
This morning as we pray, I'm starting with Psalm 149, 1 through 6. I've converted this to a prayer form. So if you would pray with me. We praise you, O Lord God Jehovah. We sing to you with our voices and with our hearts. Receive our traditional and new songs as praise to you in the congregation of the godly ones. As your chosen people, we are glad in you, God, our Maker. And for the people of Zion, who rejoice in their King together throughout the entire world, we praise you with joy and with dancing hearts, with music that honors your name. We know, O Lord, that you take pleasure in our gathering together as your people. You delight in this gathering in honor of you and in honor of your name. We know, O Lord, that you will care for those of us who are afflicted, and we know that you will provide for us our daily and eternal salvation. And so as your godly ones, we exalt you in your glory and sing in our hearts day and night. Receive the praise and thanksgiving in our hearts and in our words. We honor you, the Holy God of Israel, the God of Moses, the God of the Israel of Abraham, and the God and Father of the true Redeemer, Jesus. And God with us, your Holy Spirit, whose presence is your very nature and your power. We praise you, our Lord God, for the testimonies and healings of our brothers and sisters. For Tim, we ask that you would hold him in remission from this disease. For Julie, we thank you for speedy recovery, and we ask you to complete her recovery. And even in this time of quietness, that you administer to her. We thank you for Jeffrey's good health and good reports and ask that you'd continue to bless and anoint him, not just physically, but anoint him in his ministry to people for you and give him wisdom in those opportunities to give you glory and honor. We thank you for Audrey and ask that you'd continue speedy and complete recovery and functioning restoration. We thank you for Faith and the good news, and we ask for continued good health and good reports. We thank you for Linda, freedom from some of the symptoms. We thank you for Gail and Roger as they adjust to changes in their lives, and for Gail for healing of some of these symptoms that the doctors don't seem to understand or know how to treat. We thank you for our neighbors next door, for Amy and her boys, and ask your continued blessing upon them, giving them wisdom in their daily activities and decisions. We thank you, Lord, ahead of time for anointing this all-church service on the Sunday after Labor Day, because your word tells us that the community will take note when your people will gather together in unity as one, not in unity of theology, but in unity of you, O God our Father, and you, our Savior Jesus, and you, our Holy Spirit, present with us. And so we ask that you would begin to prepare a time that will declare to the community that Christians believe in one God, one faith, one baptism, one Redeemer Jesus, for your glory, our God. We pray for the servants of God, that you would empower them, encourage them, and flow through them, servants sent to the world, servants sent within our own country, servants that are on the Iron Range. We pray for the people of God. Revive the dry bones. Bring back to life the dead bones. Reignite our faith, our purpose, our compassion, and our passion for your kingdom. Give us vision, each individually, for our individual missions in life, our individual lives. Be honored and glorified always, our God. Be honored and glorified through us. Be honored and glorified despite us. Be honored and glorified beyond us. Be honored and glorified for us. Be honored and glorified with us. We ask these things and speak these things in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen.
Turn to number 20, and we're just going to sing this how it is. Three verses here.
magnify you, great are you, O Lord. God and end proclaim your power, show your glory, heaven and earth. Proclaim your power, show your glory, great are you, O Lord. Alleluia, 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 great are you.
Almost do that as a round. We are now entering the last third of the documented history of Paul's ministry, the Apostle Paul. In chapter 19 of Acts, we find a dramatic change in Paul's ministry, but it often gets overlooked because it isn't emphasized by Luke. So we have to pick it up in the details that Luke leaves us with. Just a note, one of the reasons the book of Acts isn't preached on much is because it challenges our theology. It challenges us with events that sometimes we shake our heads over, are confused over. Did this really happen? And we're going to read a few of those things today. Sometimes we look at the miracles of God and the work of God and the explosion of Christianity that happened in the first century after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And we look at some of that stuff and we say, that was just for them. God was doing special things back then. The apostles were special people, and so things happened for them that aren't for today, for example. Well, and that may be your view as well, but to me, the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is who Jesus left us with. That's a bad way of putting it. Left for us. His gift. And so I think it's pretty special. And because the Holy Spirit is God, I believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles, so have you. It's just a matter of taking note of the miracles. I spent 5 years and 14 episodes of shingles, kind of an endurance run. But at the end, I was glad for the deliverance, and I considered it a miracle. There may have been questions in between those 14 episodes, but I believe God is who he is always. And so the first note is, let's pause to take notice. So we're going to look at some things in Acts chapter 19. The first one we're going to look at, we talked about last week. Acts chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. This happened because of the verses before that, when Paul says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And their response was, "What? What's that? Never heard of the Holy Spirit." And we find these folks ready receivers, hearts open. "You're telling me God has something for me? Bring it on, sir. Let's make it happen. I am ready for anything that God has for me." No expectations, just yes, bring it on. I've experienced this primarily with new believers. And maybe you can think back to when you became a Christian, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord, and you had that feeling within you. "Anything, Lord. You are so wonderful." We had a tremendous summer at camp this year. The camp numbers were way up. Lots of kids came to the Lord. Lots of kids got baptized in the lake down there. Lots of kids recommitted their lives to the Lord. And a good number of them actually said that they feel a call to ministry. So lots of good things. And if you've ever been to camp or been a camp counselor, and participating in some of those things, you see this newness, this freshness, these kids who are just hungry for Jesus and hungry to hear about this God and what He has for us. Veteran believers like us sometimes tend to be a little more thoughtful. I don't think that it's necessarily that we get jaded. I think maybe we just have experienced enough life where we get a little more skeptical. And we go, "Can God really do this? Can God really heal these people we've been praying for? Can God really get people out of this jam in life that they're experiencing?" You talk to you new Christians, young believers, and a lot of times what you'll hear is, "Of course, God is God. I just found Him. He's just changed my life. Yes, He can do it." But as we move on, we get a little bit more thoughtful. So the question of this first group of people, and there are four groups we're going to look at in Acts chapter 19. The first question is, are we willing to just open up, surrender all? We sing those hymns, "I Surrender All." Are we willing to just say to God, "Bring it on. Just bring it on. Whatever it is, I'm willing. I want to glorify You." And I'll add a second question with this that I'll be repeating. And that is, when did we feel that way? And can we feel that way again? The second group, speaking of contemplating, one of my favorite pastimes, as you know, is analysis paralysis. I think about things until I tie them in a knot, and then I forget how to untie the knot. I think and think and think. The next group of people we find are in verse 9. These are in the synagogue. "And when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, Paul withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This second group of people are the theological people. I have trouble with theology when it locks us into beliefs that we can't explain. Or sometimes I hear folks saying, well, that's an exception to my theology. Well, God doesn't have exceptions to me. To me, God is God. And no, I don't fully understand Him. I have some theology, but I leave a very wide open door for God to be God. These guys here closed themselves in their theology and didn't allow themselves to accept the Messiah who was Jesus, the Messiah to Israel. A head response instead of a heart response. I've had personal experience with this. I remember very clearly sitting with a young man, about 6 foot tall, kind of a thin guy, really athletic kind of a guy. And I sat with him for about 45 minutes, an hour, talking with him, reasoning with him, which is what Paul did with these people. It says in verse 8, he was reasoning and persuading them. And I sat with this guy named John down in Silver Lake, Minnesota, which is central Minnesota. And I sat with him for 45 minutes, an hour, reasoning with him and discussing with him and trying to help him with the questions he had. At the end of that conversation, our agreement was that he would continue to think about it. He was thinking, a theological thinker. So my question for this group of people and for us when we have this time in our lives is not what am I thinking, but where is my heart? The third group of people, the next contrast, is the folks in the school of Tyrannus. As you learned last week as we studied this together, this is the unseen miracle in Paul's ministry. You can't see it. It's hard to see, I should say. This is where Paul finally decides, I'm done trying to reach the Jewish people, and I'm going to fulfill the call that God put on my life, and I'm going to go to the Gentile people. As Barb read for us today from the scriptures, Paul did not give up on the Jewish people. In fact, what she read for us today is Paul's heart, how much he loved his people, how much he longed for his people to accept their Messiah. In fact, he said, I'd give up my life if they would just accept Jesus as their Messiah. So it's not like he's giving up on them. He's just receiving the call of God on his life, which said, I want you to go to the Gentiles. I actually do wonder about this verse 9, where it says, Paul was reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And verse 10, this took place for 2 years. You know what I would have loved? I would have loved that they recorded all of his teaching for 2 years and I could have it on cassette tape today or CDs, whatever's available. Luke doesn't tell us any details, and I'm going, Luke, my buddy, 2 years. You could have written books about what Paul was teaching in those 2 years. But the extraordinary miracle, as we read here, that People from all over the region, north, south, east, west, were coming to this university. And they heard Paul. Now, the universities at those times were not like the ones we have today. You know, you sign up for a course, a direction, and then you take certain courses to meet that. If you're going to become a nurse, you take these courses to become a nurse. Or going to become an engineer, you take these courses. That's not how they handled the university back then. Universities back then depended on people. And so teachers came, and you just came to hear those teachers, whoever they were. And so you get all these different teachings in this university. And these folks who came from all over the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, Mideast, got to sit and listen to the good news of Jesus as preached by Paul. But I'm sure there were people there who just approached it academically. Well, that's interesting. But, you know, there's lots of different ways of looking at life. Academics. Those of us who have been in academia, which means kindergarten through 12th grade and beyond, because it's all academics, sometimes we reach that place. It's just academics. I loved math. I love geometry. And sometimes I'll talk to somebody about the laws of physics, and they go, whatever. It isn't important to some people. It's just academic. To me, I can apply all of those things to real life. And so we don't know what happened to the people, but we do know something, and that is the next verse, verse 11. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Reminds me of Elijah. Reminds me of Elisha. Reminds me of Jesus and the woman who reached out and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And it gave me an idea. So I'm going to warn our ladies ahead of time. We pray over the boxes that we send every year. These boxes that we're going to fill with stuff for kids. And I thought, this year, couldn't we pray that healing go with those items? Like it says right here, handkerchiefs and aprons. I don't know if we're sending handkerchiefs and aprons, but we're sending a lot of cool stuff. Can these things touch the lives of these kids and their families? And the people who bounce the ball with them? And the miracles of Jesus can happen. Which brings me to why miracles? Why was it that the keynote advertisement of Jesus' ministry was everyone who came to him, he healed? And the scriptures tell us it's because it revealed the glory of God. So something to think about as we go to prayer and send those boxes off to kids. The final contrast is kind of humorous to me, and so I'd like to read it. It starts in verse 13. But also, some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is what they said: I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one man named Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered them and said to them, I know Jesus. I know about Paul. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, subdued both of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled away naked and wounded. And verse 17, and this became known to everyone. I guess it would have become known to everyone. And I get a little humor out of this. I feel bad for the two guys that got beat up. But I get a little humor out of it because of the contrast. When I think I can do it without Jesus, and when I think I can do it with Jesus. And when I'm doing it for my own glory, which what these guys were doing, they wanted to get on the gravy train. They wanted to get on the popularity train that Paul had. They wanted to be known as healers and deliverers. Come to us. And to be honest, sometimes I've been there. And I had to get kicked off. God has been pretty gentle with me most of the time, but there's been a few times where the old work boot came along. So the question, can I shift in every situation I'm in? Can I shift the good things that are happening? Can I shift it to the glory of God? When something good happens, can I say, thank you, Jesus? When something good happens in another person's life, can I say, Jesus is so good, isn't he? When something good happens in our community, can I say, God is so good? I can get fixated on all the bad stuff, but can I just change my focus and start appreciating the goodness of God? Well, we have a brief note after this event, which again is interesting to me, starting with verse 17, and this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. There's that answer. The Lord Jesus being magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices, which was some of this stuff they were doing. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together. I'm going to read that again. Brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Each piece of silver, we're assuming, is a denarius. That's what they did back then. And each denarius was equivalent to a day's wages for a working, we call them blue collar folks. 50,000 pieces of silver. So I like math. So I had to figure out what that is. 50,000 work days for a blue-collar worker. That comes out to 192 years. Years of an average working person's wages. Now, I don't know what you make for a living, but take and add that up for 192 years. I kind of did a rough estimate, and it came out to $9 million. Huge amount of money of books that these folks burned up. This is incredible that work in that area had been so dramatic. That miracle, reverse miracle, you know, the guy's getting beaten up, kind of a reverse miracle, so glorified God that the result was probably more than $9 million burned up. So, final questions. Review. When am I, or who am I when I am? I. Something like that. Who am I when I am? When am I who I am? Am I willing and eager? Am I thoughtful and contemplating but not convinced? Am I considering but not really committed? Am I convinced but disconnected from the body of Christ? And that's not a question for who you are as who you are. That's a question of when, because we've all been all four of those at different times. We've all been eager for Jesus. I just want Jesus in my heart. I just want Jesus in my life. We've all been thinking, contemplating, not convinced. You may be that way today when you read about these miracles, saying, I'm going to look for that handkerchief I have in my purse or my back pocket, and I'm going to send that to somebody by mail so that they can be healed. You may be contemplating that. I would be reading that. You may be considering, yes, Jesus is real today in my life and I need him, but not fully committed. Or as many people are today, they're convinced, but they're not connected to the body of Christ, pretty much doing their own thing. And again, we've all been in those places. So the question for us today is, and I'm going to try this again, when am I, who I am, when God is knocking on my door? Would you pray with me? We thank you, our Father God. We thank you, our Lord Jesus, that you change lives. We ask you, Lord Jesus, this morning, because we believe in you, come into our lives. Come into our hearts. Take up residence and become our King and our Lord. We will praise you forever. We honor you. And with this request, we seal it in your precious and holy name, the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Okay.
Okay. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art, but we're going to sing the original translation. I've never liked this arrangement at the end on the hymn machine because it's not how I grew up singing it. And I probably sang it more like Beverly Shea. And I have to look in the red hymn book when we go downstairs to see if that is different from this one. Because I grew up singing, How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art, and it does it quickly. So we got to go with the hymn machine. But we're going to sing, Almighty God, When I Behold the Wonder, number 9. But
you just stand, please.
But it's to the tune next to it. What?
Nothing.
Okay. So here we go.
Oh, story good.
Almighty God, when I behold some wonder, consider all the unearthly watched by thine, and how thou leadest all from realms up yonder, sustaining earthly life with love benign. With rapture fill my soul, thy name will laud. Almighty God, Almighty God. With rapture fill my soul, thy name will laud. Almighty God, Almighty God. When I hear fools in ignorance and folly deny thee, God, and taunt thy holy word, and yet perceive that thou suppliest wholly their every need, thy loving grace conferred. With rapture filled my soul, thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God, with rapture fill my soul, thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God, when crushed by guilt of sin before thee kneeling, I plead for mercy and for grace and peace. I feel thy balm and all my bruises healing. My soul is filled, my heart is set at ease. With rapture filled, my soul thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God, with rapture filled, my soul thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God. And when at last the mists of times have vanished, and I in truth my faith confirmed shall see, upon the shores where earthly ills are banished, I'll enter, Lord, to dwell in peace with thee. With rapture filled, my soul, thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God, with rapture filled, my soul thy name would laud. Almighty God, Almighty God.
This is the Swedish English translation. The popular How Great Thou Art next to it is the Swedish Russian English translation. And for years, the Covenant only had in their hymnals number 9.
and they gave in the 90s and put both of them with the original in little print. Just a history lesson there.
Turn to one another and let's sing our blessing. And there are several other verses, by the way.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you, give you, give.